The new year brings with it a batch of fresh titles at the Film Salon, a monthly screening and discussion series located at Alamo Drafthouse Cinema in West El Paso. I'm Kyle Alvarado, your guest host for this week's episode of On Film. Sitting next to me is a man whose voice I know you'll recognize. He's the founder of the Film Salon, your regular host for On Film, and a man I'm proud to call my friend and mentor, Charles Horak. Morning, Chuck.
Good morning. Thank you, Kyle. It's a little strange sitting on this side of the mic.
Yeah, it's a little different.
I do want to thank you before we get into the Film Salon. You know, you've guest hosted for me a number of times over the last year when I was out of town or tied up elsewhere, so I appreciate that.
Oh, I'm happy to do it. And, you know, thank you for having me. So the Film Salon is coming off of a pretty major year.
Yeah.
It celebrated its 15th anniversary with the secret screening of Elevator to the Gallows. You marked your one-year anniversary moving over to the Alamo Drafthouse. And most important, you've expanded and you've began a second screening series, which takes place in the middle of each month.
That's right.
And, you know, by the looks of the next two series, the Film Salon is poised for another great year ahead.
I think so. They're all big films with big stars and big actors. As you mentioned, last summer, we, for 15 years, we had once a month gotten together, our small band of cinephiles, to discuss and look at films. Most of those were shown in a converted chapel I had down at Trinity First United Methodist Church, and then we moved when the Alamo opened in May of 2016. And had been showing films there. But last summer, we decided to branch out and start a second series, a mid-month series, which I've been programming not so much as an extension of our main series, but really counter-programming. So it's allowed me to pick some films that we normally don't touch on, some foreign titles, some newer films, newer for me, which is means 60s and 70s. not 30s through the 50s, which is the bread and butter of the main Film Salon.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that first series. It's titled Second Acts, and you know when you look at the list of titles, there's some really big titles that feature some iconic actresses in cinema history. But the connective thread between the titles puts the films and its leading ladies in a different context than we're used to.
This is something that I've thought about over the years, and you're right, we have some really big actresses, and we're looking at the careers of Katharine Hepburn and people like Joan Crawford and Betty Davis and Barbara Stanwyck, iconic actresses who had extremely long careers, the kinds of careers that are really unheard of now in Hollywood. But these were actresses that began their work in the 30s and in some cases even the late 20s and were still working into the 50s, 60s, and 70s and even beyond. Just incredible longevity, but they all had moments in their careers where the future was not so bright, where their careers were faltering, they had made some missteps, they were aging, and it wasn't always a sure thing that they would be icons of the silver screen for many decades to come. So we're looking at four particular films, in each a film in each one of these actresses' lives that really allowed them to rejuvenate their career, extend it, move in a new direction. And we're beginning tonight with The Philadelphia Story, the great George Cukor 1940 romantic comedy starring Katharine Hepburn. A lot of people will find it surprising, we'll talk about this more tonight, but her career had gone quite well in the 30s until the late 30s, and then she had a couple of box office bombs that she personally got blamed for, that theater owners and people in Hollywood began to think that audiences just didn't care for her type of character anymore. And she actually went away from acting on the big screen for 2 years and went back to New York and worked on Broadway and actually was in The Philadelphia Story. She helped produce The Philadelphia Story on Broadway and it was a huge success, and it would be her comeback film. She brought with her the director, George Cukor, who split his time between Broadway and Hollywood. And it's really this film that I think allowed her to have a career beyond the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Without the success of The Philadelphia Story and sort of representing her to an audience in 1940, it's unclear whether she would have just remained a stage actress at that point. But of course, the rest is history, and she had a career that went on another 50 years. It's hard to believe.
Yeah.
And I have to say, it's the only film that she gets to co-star with Cary Grant, who she was in several films with, but also Jimmy Stewart. The three of them together is just magic.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing. We're also showing Mildred Pierce, the Joan Crawford film, in February, and Bette Davis in All About Eve, an iconic film in the Bette Davis oeuvre.
Oh, yeah. Good timing, too, right around the Oscars.
Right around the Oscars. Of course, one of the greatest feuds, which people will know from the recent TV miniseries. Both Joan Crawford and Bette Davis were constantly at each other and after the same Oscars many years in a row. And then we're going to wrap up with a really interesting Anthony Mann Western, really a noir Western from 1950, The Furies, with Barbara Stanwyck, which if you know Stanwyck's career, this was a period where films like The Furies allowed her to move into the Western and noir genres heavily, and I think The Furies was a big part of that move or shift in the audience's mind.
Yeah. It's a bit of a deep cut, The Furies. And speaking of deep cuts, the second series takes a different approach to its titles. It celebrates a genre that thrived in the 70s. However, given the current political climate, I wouldn't be surprised to see a resurgence of the genre within the next couple of years. Let's talk a little bit about Conspiracy.
The Conspiracy film and our new series, Conspiracy. We're kicking off 2018 with two brand new series, as you mentioned, The Second Act, but also this this second series, which we're moving to Wednesday evenings to see what kind of audience we can build there with this new screening. So people familiar with our second screening series should note that we're going to be meeting the third Wednesday of every month now, beginning on Wednesday, January 17th, with All the President's Men. This series I did call Conspiracy with an exclamation point. as you properly pointed out, the 70s really saw proliferation of these kinds of films. I guess they've always been with us, but for students of history and our own modern times, there are a lot of connections between what's going on right now in our political life and the daily news out of Washington and what was going on in the early 70s. In 1972, there was the famous burglary at the Watergate Hotel, breaking into the DNC office there, which led to pretty much 2 years of Watergate scandal, which brought down the presidency of Richard Nixon, who resigned in 1974. And out of that period and all of the revelations that came out of that, we see this brief period of political conspiracy films bubbling up. And of course, the granddaddy of them all, which was not the first, but All the President's Men, which were kicking off on Wednesday the 17th. This was the Alan Pakula film starring Robert Redford and Dustin Hoffman, of course, as the real-life reporters Woodward and Bernstein, who had tirelessly tracked down all the threads that led to the taking down of Richard Nixon during the Watergate scandal. We're not doing this chronologically in this series because I thought it was important to kick it off with All the President's Men because it sets the tone, at least reminds us of the era. And it's going to be, the screening will coincide with The Post, which the Steven Spielberg film, which will be in theaters, which you could almost put back to back.
Yeah, they're wonderful companion pieces.
Yeah, and it's all about the Washington Post and, of course, how journalists doggedly put together a very complicated story that then fed into the hearings and everything else. We're also going to be showing coming up in February, The Conversation. You talk about deep tracks. I think this was a film that for many years was overlooked, but in the last decade particularly, it seems to be reevaluated. And this was by the director Francis Ford Coppola, who he would sandwich this in somehow, this little bitty film with Gene Hackman, starring a specialist in audio recording who's hired to surreptitiously record some private conversations that lead to all sorts of intrigue. this film was sandwiched between Godfather and Godfather 2. So Coppola took a break between making those two gigantic films to do this incredibly intimate, paranoid little film, conspiracy film that many people are really look at his career and think this is one of his masterpieces.
Yeah.
But it's a film that most people have not seen, so I'm really excited to get to show the conversation on the big screen. And then also from 1974, in March, we're going to show Alan Pakula, the director of All the President's Men. Before he made that film, he made a film with Warren Beatty called The Parallax View, which is a fictitious conspiracy, but it has to do with the assassination of a senator and a shadowy corporation that does security that I don't want to give too much away from this, but Warren Beatty is also a journalist. Another theme of many of these conspiracy films is someone who's having to investigate on their own and figure out what's going on. So we're going to show The Parallax View on March 21st, and then we're going to wrap up that series in April with 3 Days of the Condor, a great Robert Redford thriller directed by Sidney Pollack and co-starring Faye Dunaway, mm-hmm. fantastic Faye Dunaway.
Oh, yeah. It's what Pollack and Redford's, they did like 7 movies together, so it's a great little collaboration. So right before we run out of time, one thing I've always admired about you, apart from your amazingly relaxing radio voice, is your approach to film programming. Hmm. So when you sit down and sketch out titles for the Film Salon, what goes through your head?
Well, I think you mentioned the term deep cuts, and I always like presenting big classical films that a lot of people know. There are a lot of favorite films, and the opportunity to see them on the big screen is rare. So I enjoy that. But I personally enjoy turning people on to titles that maybe they were not aware of, or great films that have gone underrated for years. And so films like The Furies or The Conversation, I always try to pepper into the series those things so that we can use the big films like Mildred Pierce, which, by the way, was directed by Michael Curtiz, who made Casablanca, you know, a really big film, big star, but then also try to grab some of that audience to come back for a film like The Furies, which they probably have never heard of and never seen.
Yeah.
So that's how I balance it for myself. And I'm always dreaming up series. I do like to work in arcs because I think for those audience members who come repeatedly, it's also about education, and so we can directly tie some threads together between the films we're showing. So I like to think in 4 to 6 month thematic arcs as well, so there's an educational component to it.
My guest today is the Film Salon founder and your regular host of On Film, Charles Horak. We've been discussing the Film Salon's 2 newest series, Second Acts, which focuses on the career resurgences of some of cinema's legendary leading ladies, and Conspiracy, which highlights iconic conspiracy films from the 70s. Second Acts begins tonight at 6 p.m. with Katharine Hepburn's The Philadelphia Story, and the second series kicks off with All the President's Men on January 17th. For more information on the series, visit filmsalon.org or give them a like on Facebook. On Film's producer and engineer is Lauren Terrazas. An archive of past programs can be found at ktep.org. Once again, I'm Kyle Alvarado. Thank you for joining me for On Film, and thank you for letting me interview you, Chuck.
My pleasure. Thanks, Kyle.